will follow up on that, okay? On the old report. On the new ones, of course, we will first take an input. Everyone happy that we proceed that way? Right. Now, Mr. Dawood has done a good job to keep all these things together. I want to really thank her for some very hard work. I've got a two-page document here. I hope you've all got it. Constituency issues October 2013. Those, I'm told, are the new issues. Starts, the first one is Western Cape, issue one. You got that? Department got it? Department looks perplexed. This document. That's the new issues. It says, Portfolio Committee data, constituency issues October 20, water, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, Brazilian Cal. Which can be show members which page? Yeah. Okay. Got it? Everyone got it in the package? In your package? Got it? Members, you've got it? Okay, first issue there, the farm despair in the Willowmore district. What is our response to this? Is this the same as the other matter? It's a different matter than the other one you dealt with. Okay, okay, so it's the same area, Willowmore. What is your response to this? They say that you're using water on their farm. They've come to several dead ends. What is the department's response to this matter?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning.
Use the mic.
Good morning, Chair. Without wasting any time of the introduction, in terms of the delegation, we have all the representatives from each region to respond to the matters. And as we go through the matters per province or per region, the regional manager responsible will respond to that. For the Western Cape, we have Rashid Khan, who will respond to the issue of the Western Cape. Without wasting time, can I hand over to...
Make it succinct.
Chair, this matter is Rashid Khan, Western Cape, Department of Water Affairs. Thank you for the opportunity.
And forget all the thank yous and that. Just took to the point. We've got no time.
Chair, it's the farm just...
Sorry, Mr. Rogers.
Sorry, Chair, on a point of clarity, I'm a bit lost. I raised a question at the last meeting regarding Bavian's water licenses. It is, in fact, this issue. So I'm not sure who's put this question to the committee, because I didn't phrase the question in this manner.
I think it's their lawyers.
And
some lawyers have written to us, which I gave to. That's why I'm asking, was it the same matter? I wasn't aware. But definitely lawyers that wrote a letter to us.
It's not dealt with in the response to the previous question either. The issue of the water licenses for Bavian. There's no report on the previous meeting. Thanks, Chair.
Is there no report, Ms. Dawood? I mean, that was one of the issues we dealt with last time. Is there a report, Mr. Khan?
Yes. Yeah, we did report. And
on the last matter?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, so where's the... Just check from there. Just check there.
Chair, if you remember, we tried to clarify because there's a minister.
Yeah, but is there a report? That's what I'm wanting to know.
Yes.
I don't want to hear stories. Let me just first find out. Is there a report? Do members have it? Show Chileka or show Shireen there what the report looks like, Mr. Khan, as you can see.
As chair, you're required for us to respond.
J, apparently, the department shows me Annexure J status report on Buffy Hansklof. J. I don't know. They marked it here as Annexure J. That's what I'm just saying to you. Just see. Are these all the reports? And did you give all of these to Shireen?
G is the last Annexure in our pack, too.
All right. Can someone in the department sit down with Shireen quickly and make sure that all the reports that they are expecting us to have, we have, and if not, go and copy those quickly. Shireen, can you sit down with someone in with Vincent? Let's sort this out. Let's try and move into the next issue if we can. The Eastern Cape issue. What capital funding has been allocated? You know, this kind of question, of course, is not really a constituency issue. The constituency issues are like this issue, Buffy Hansklof. Someone comes to an MP and says, I've got a problem with it. I mean, usual policy issues, what budgets are there and what is the policy on that? I mean, that's not a constituency issue, okay? But I'm going to let it go, but give very brief, I'll tell you to give a brief answer to this. Because constituency issues are like problems. It's Mr. Manganya had problems with her village, and her village don't get water consistently. So that is a constituency issue, okay? So we're still learning as well as, we haven't done this before as members, so we're still also finding the way. So it's not a criticism, it's just, these kind of issues are policy issues, so we'll briefly deal with them. But just tell us, how much capital funding has been allocated to current water challenges in Grahamstown? Oh, this is Grahamstown. Okay, no, this is Grahamstown, that's fine. Grahamstown, what's the response? Huh?
Just a small clarity on this document. We've got an extra F, and there are court cases at the end, what? Really don't know. I don't understand. We'll talk about
now, what we do is, look, there are new issues that we're raising at this meeting, and then there are old issues we raised before. Now, the old ones, we want reports, and then members will be given that we gave you the reports. Apparently, now some of them are missing. Then, of course, you can then, if you want to take a follow-up, if you're happy with the response or you're unhappy, well, then you raise it. But the new issues, like this one here is a new issue. We'll now ask the department just to respond to us, and if people then want to follow up. I'm not sure if on the new issues there are reports. Are there reports?
That's a two-pager, Chair. Two-pager. With a high-level breakdown of the budget that
I've
been now for
them. Yeah, no, but I'm just saying in general, did you give us on the new issues also give us reports?
No.
Why not? Why not?
Chair, the email that we received said we be providing oral responses. We received them yesterday.
But you explain it orally. But as a record for the meeting, the whole idea last time I explained, we will get our things better, we'll let you know beforehand what the issues are, and then you'll give us reports, and then you come here and you give an oral presentation, tell us this is what we've done, but there must be reports. So there are no reports for the new issues.
Chair.
By Friday, on my desk, there must be a written report on each one of these new issues. Friday. Explain this Eastern Cape issue quickly, briefly.
Chair, there is a three-pager that explains the capital budget that has been...
Have members got it?
No.
Now you see, how do we deal with matters that we don't have papers in front of us? We're now going to sit here and listen to you give us figures. You know, we don't have the papers in front of us. Ms. Wenger.
Chair, I'd like to know how big is the contingent that has come here to give us answers on the questions that we have asked, and what is the purpose of them being here if they cannot give the answers that we have put forward?
I just don't understand what's going on with you. What's going on with the department? Have you gone into slumber? I mean, the last time it was clearly stated. Last time we weren't well prepared, so you just came with oral answers, because we just came here and raised issues. Then we said, we will let you know beforehand what the issues are. I've been pushing the members to get things, that you will then come and give us reports on the matters. Now you don't bring us reports. Yes.
The issues, the new issues that we have received, we received them yesterday, late in the afternoon. The issues that we have prepared reports on is the issues that were raised before yesterday.
So you can't, since yesterday when you got it, you couldn't have drafted reports.
Chair, that's why there are reports that have been prepared, but not with copies made for the members.
But why? What this whole delegation? What did you do last night and this morning? What did you do last night and this morning? Ms. Kosa, sorry.
My chair, it seems things are not going well now. Why can't we give them a chance to deal with this documentation and deal with other issues that we have before us? Then we'll deal with this.
Go make copies of the documents that we don't have, and then let's see if the members... Could we go to the old issues? Any of the reports on the old issues? DG, you've got a big delegation here, DDG. Make sure this thing gets sorted out, please. Get copies to us about these new issues. I don't see anyone moving. And very soon, I'm just going to throw the whole delegation out. The other thing I want to also raise is, I know Minister had big problems sending a big delegation like this. In future, you have the particular issues in front of you. Only the people that I have to come and answer questions have to come and answer. We said last time, we are going to tell you what the issues are beforehand. So we don't need every region and everyone here. A lot of people here are not going to say a single word and they go home, because they haven't raised issues. You know, what I don't understand is, if you don't understand the instructions of the committee, no one has ever come to me and said, we don't understand the instructions. Members, are there any of the reports, any matter in front of you? Let's just try and move this meeting forward. Is there anything that any of you want to raise on any of these issues? The reports that have been given, or even on the new issues, if you want to take it forward. Anything? Mr. Rogers, you kick off first.
Chair, maybe you can help me. I raised some issues at the last meeting, and if I look at the response from the department, I don't know if...
Which issue is it particularly?
Well, let's take anyone. Let's take the Richmond High Flats Harding hunting syndicate that's happening with the taxi drivers. There appears to be a loose document that has a response. It's not part of the pack. If I understand this table correctly, the department's response is that it's a criminal matter, but that the department could do an investigation and then hand the matter over to the police. And that's really the response I'm getting, not much more. And the last comment is the committee requested a report on this issue. So, unless someone can explain what that actually means, or what the way forward here is.
Okay.
I mean, if the department can do an investigation, why aren't they saying we will undertake an investigation and we will submit the information to SAPS and report back to the subcommittee?
This issue has been raised last time. Why is the response in the format it is? Do you want to do it? It's not for us to instruct you to do things. There's an issue raised of a problem. Now, what is it the department wants to do? It's not, we can do this, we can. What are you going to do? Are you going to do nothing? Then tell us. Then members can act appropriately. Response? Who's responding? KZN? Where's KZN?
While they find them, Chair, with your indulgence,
sure.
The issue of sewer spillage into the Umzinhlava River, the response there from the department is also, although sewers were the responsibility of the Department of Water Affairs,
the Department of Environmental Affairs assisted in resolving the issue on the pollution-related matters. The committee requested a report on this issue. What does that mean?
Anyone want to respond to that one? The whole idea of you coming here on constituency issues are to come and tell us how you have dealt with the issue or how you've resolved the issue. That is the idea. I agree with Mr. Rogers. That answer there is environment health. They helped with what? What did they do? Who's responding to this? DDG?
Chair, they're going to fetch Ashley because she went to make copies.
This is the one person that has to answer questions. You're now sending them to make copies. I mean, really. Anything else? Any of the other issues? Mr. Rogers?
Chair, I can really sit here all day, you know. I raised the issue on Umzinkulu and I was specific in wards with water challenges. And I'll read you part of the department's report. The situation at Sisonke District Municipality would be investigated and more information will be provided to the committee on available funding through the MWIG. I mean, surely this information is available. Why do they need another 2 months?
Is that still the Ashley guy?
Yes, just the question that they fetch him.
There was another hand. Try and take another province.
Thank you very much, Chair. The answer that I hear on this page, I think my village is still not included in this. There are 20 villages, but the villages that is complaining more about water is not here. And then the answers that they are given, I understand because they are servicing other people. Tabazimbi Municipality don't pay water. Moses Kotani Municipality pay water, but we don't get water. I thought they will sort it among themselves because they are the ones that have contracted Mahalis water to give Moses Kotani water. But when they come here, again with question that when you go to the community, you tell the community it's only the mines that will get water and other villages, but this village won't get water. It's not even on their record that this village will get water. So I don't know what to say to them because they didn't answer what I was asking them. Thank you very much.
Who's here from the northwest?
Lebohan Bokopa will respond.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and the Honorable Members. My name is Lebohan Bokopa. I'm the acting regional head in Northwest. Honorable Chair, I must report that we did respond to the question that were raised. One was the 52 villages which were raised by Honorable Bangani. So we have responded to that. What we did there was to focus on a high-level intervention in Moses Kotane. I must say that we have allocated in the current financial year $200 million so that we can address the shortage of water, in fact of bulk water in Moses Kotane. But this is in the long term. We have plans in place to deal also with the...
You say in this year's budget?
Yes,
the coming year?
Yes, no, this year's budget. We are busy already.
You've got a budget already?
Yeah, we got the budget already and we are busy.
So why in your report don't you tell us what you're going to do?
No, we have reported what we'll do. We have even indicated...
Where?
In the report. The report is at
show us if we've got it. See if the members have got it there.
Yeah. The report is here. I think the challenge that Honorable Member is having is the fact that out of those 52 villages, he doesn't see some villages appearing on it. I think that's what the challenge is. What I'm emphasizing is that once the issue of bulk water has been sorted, I think we'll be having a sustainable water supply in Moses Kotane. Because currently we are busy implementing a project, as I'm speaking now, so that we can provide 30 megaliters. That is
but you see, Chief,
that is required.
This is not the way to govern. The way to govern, I took part in a debate, Mr. Khan will know, the other day. You see, you cannot as a government, even if you're doing good things, okay, then expect, you say, well, we're going to now work out the bulk water thing and then we'll now, you see, all that people want to know and what the member wants to know is what is the program going to be, even if it's a 5-year program. But then at least they can go and explain something to the community. But you can't say to them, well, we want to first solve the bulk problem. That's why we're not mentioning the 52 villages. You know, what we need to know is that you guys have sat down, thought about this. Now, if you get the bulk water, the 200 million rand, you put in the bulk water, you're going to get from a dam, and so you explain that. Yeah. Then you say, what are we then going to do when this water is going to be ready by the year when you're dead, Johnny, then it's going to be ready.
Yeah.
When you're dead, this is what we're going to do for the 52 villages. And you say, we've got plans in place, this is what we're going to do to get the water to. Now, otherwise, the member is going to have to raise with you every single time and say, what are you doing about the 52 villages that don't have water? So you guys must go and sit down and talk to, Ms. Mangani, I don't know how many, Ms. Mangani, how many times have I asked you to meet with people of the department so they can explain to you what are the plans for the 52 villages? If there is no plan, then we must tell Ms. Mangani so she can go and tell the people in that community that we've got no plans. But if you're going to do something, explain it. How much must Mangani now go back and 32 villages are not mentioned?
Yeah.
What must he say to the 32 villages?
Okay. Honorable Chair, perhaps just to mention that we have established a task team in Moses Kotane that is looking into addressing all the water-related problems there. That task team comprised of the MMs, the municipality, also some courses, because remember from Bakata Bakafela also, they had also a water master plan. So we had to incorporate it into the broader Moses Kotane action plan.
Now that's committees you've got. Now that's committees you've got.
Yeah, the
are you telling me that you have no plans for this 52 villages until this task team has made plans? Are you, is that what you're saying to me?
No, we do have. I have also the business plan, Honorable Chair. Unfortunately, it's quite a volume, but I can make it available to Honorable Member if he needs, because it goes into details in terms of, for example, the short term, the medium term, and the long term. Because what we captured in the response was more on the long term, which is somehow a some kind of strategic intervention. But we have also focused on the short to medium and also the long term in the business plan. I can make it available.
Look,
Honorable Chair,
these answers are often going to be long. The fact of it is, we are doing these things so that you can make it short and understandable to members. These members here are your eyes and ears. They're your eyes and ears. Because if we're going to take 2 or 3 years to do this, the only way those communities are going to accept it, if these members can go and explain to them and say, be patient. But how does Mrs. Manganya go and explain something she doesn't know? So you guys must answer these questions in a way that's going to make it possible for people to go and explain to people. And say, we know you can't solve things overnight, particularly if 52 villages haven't got water. We're not going to give them water overnight. But as I said in this debate with in the Western Cape, what we cannot do is not say to people, but therefore, you know, you might just wait. We must explain to people and say, this is what we're going to do. These are our plans. This is short, long term we're going to do. This is short term what we're going to do. This is we're going to be ready by this time with the plans. We're going to tell you all 52 villages. If you don't do that, then this is a worthless exercise. You wasted money to come to Parliament. Now, in this case, I'm going to ask again that you as the acting head of the Northwest, today still, before you leave here, you sit down with Ms. Manganya and you explain to her these processes. And if she then wants to need documents to look at and so on, but the point is it's for you to explain to her what is going to happen on this issue.
Okay. I'll do so.
That must be done today before you leave.
I'll do so, Honorable Chair.
Can we leave it like that, Ms. Manganya?
Yes, Chair. Let's leave like that, because even the mayor that he talks about, he called me that raise it because we don't see anything. So I think we will take it together. I've got also the message from the mayor. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Skosana?
No, Chair. You see, I become worried about this matter. When you talk about a problem in 52 villages, and when we request for a response, we should have got a breakdown of those villages. How many have been attended to? What were the real problems and whatsoever? That's what I expect from the department. But if today you are still talking about the task team, it's almost at the end of the year, which means that task team is preparing for a work of next year on the reopening around February, March again. Really, here we are not really getting a real answer, because we want a direct response in these matters. We know that financially we're not so okay that we can address these matters on a day. But we must have a breakdown of the problems that are there in the community. They must be attended to, Chair. And if there are problems, must be told that we are unable to attend this problem.
You know, Mr. Daphne, I want to show you. I see you here. Mr. Daphne, I see you here. You know, last time I asked Ms. Manganya, go and write down the 52 villages. Give them your name and your number. There she was. She sat down and wrote all 52 villages. And we're still at this stage. Okay, next issue. Is KwaZulu-Natal back? Come and sit here where you can answer. Mr. Rogers, can you read those responses again and ask him whatever questions you want to ask him?
Perhaps, Chair, if we could just go through the KwaZulu-Natal responses from the department and then I can respond to them.
Tell us all these new issues in KZN. Give me a...
Honourable Chairperson, members, thank you very much. I have submitted the previous issues that were raised in August. I did submit a written report, and I do see...
Yeah, but you know, that report was read to us. Not a single answer is given in those reports. You are waffling. It's a lot of waffle. I mean, for example, you tell us this issue has been resolved after discussing with environment. You don't tell us how. I mean, we must now just guess. That's the one issue I can remember. I mean, that's not the way to deal with Parliament, who is trying to form a partnership with the department to help communities understand the problems you are having and what you're trying to do to resolve them. That is what the committee is here for to do. Because otherwise, all we're doing is sending questions to Parliament all the time and saying, what is that? What has been done? What has been done? This is an opportunity to engage on these issues so we can see your issues, your problems, the difficulties you're having, so that we can go and explain to the communities. Your answers are like... they're just not answers. Okay, the new issues. Forget the old ones. Don't even try and go there because...
Okay. Thanks, Chair. Chair, the new issue, there were two questions. There were five questions for KwaZulu-Natal. I do have a copy of the report which I could circulate. If I can pass it down, I quickly went to make copies. Chair, the questions was specifically in the Mzimkhulu region, what projects, what's the value and the projected completion date. And the second one was with regards to water in Pongola, Jozini region. And what are the objectives, costs? Chair, I do apologize for how it's printed. I will give the chair, the secretary a copy of my report. But let me start with Mzimkhulu, Chair. There are three projects in the Mzimkhulu region. As per the report, it's on the front page. Chair, I hope a copy gets to you. I only made 12 copies. I wasn't too sure of the numbers. There's two MIG projects, Chair. There's two MIG projects and there's an MIG project. Currently, the two MIG projects, the completion date is 30th of April 2012. The first one, the Kwashaka Regional Rural Water Supply Scheme, that is projected to be completed June 2014. The MIG project, Chair, that program is, we've got the funding for it and they are at the planning phase with the municipality, Chair. So those are three projects with regards to the first question for Mzimkhulu. With regards to Jozini local municipality, there are seven projects, Chair, and the report is there. Again, I do apologize for the print, the size of the print and so forth. I'll get the copy to Secretariat. There are seven projects. There is a MIG project, which was registered in 2011. The projected completion date is January 2014. That was 160 million. Chair, the details of the wards and so forth is in my report. The second MIG project is what we call Jozini Community Water Supply Scheme, and that was a feasibility study. That was registered with the department in 2012. The projected completion date for that is June 2014. Chair, there's another MIG project. Those other two were MIG projects as well. There is another MIG project that's registered. It was registered 2012. That is the Jozini Regional Community Water Supply Scheme Phase 1A. It was registered in 2012. The expected completion date of that is September 2015. And obviously that is looking at the water, the source in the particular area. Chair, the details are in my report there. Chair, the next MIG project that we have is Mkuzi Water Treatment Works Upgrade and Refurbishment. The expected completion date, that's a 25 million project under MIG. The expected completion date is December 2014. The next project that we have there, Chair, in the Chozini area is another MIG project, Shamula Water Scheme, Water Supply Scheme, registered in 2012. The expected completion date is 2018. The estimated project cost is 86 million, Chair, and the detail of the of the wards is in the report. The next project that we have is the Cogta massification program, and that massification is linked to with regards to water, electricity, energy, sanitation. It's called a Ndumo Water Project, Chair. It was registered this year with us. The expected, it's a very small amount of 14 million. The expected completion date of that project is February 2014, and that's to ensure basic water to the Ndumo area in Jozini. Another MWIG project, Chair, MWIG project that just came on now recently is the Ingwamvuma Interim Supply, Chair. That's in terms of the MWIG Interim Supply Strategy. It's at the planning phase. We've allocated in 3 million to develop a plan, and from there, in the next 2 years, we will be able to look at the detailed implementation. The next MWIG one is the borehole supply area to the Jozini area, Chair. That again was registered with us this year, 2013. It's also at the planning phase. We've allocated him 18 million rand, Chair, and that's where we're going to look at rehabilitation, drilling of new boreholes, etc., in the area. And then the seventh project in the area, Chair, is the RBIG project. It's the Jozini Ingwavuma Regional Supply Scheme, Chair. That one started back in 2010. The expected completion date is 15th of September. I don't know why they're so precise, the 15th of September 2017. The estimated value of that project, Chair, is 1.4 billion, and the expenditure on the project is about 95 million, Chair. The details is in the area, and that's this project, the Jozini Ingwavuma, looks at the abstraction from the Jozini Dam and access to our people in the area, Chair. So those are the seven projects for Jozini and three for Umzinkulu. The detail is in the report, Chair. I do apologize.
No, don't go into the detail. Okay. This is a broad policy thing. The next three are important. They more constituency stuff. Deal with them.
Chair, the next three are not mine. They look more in the environmental affairs side, Chair. The game reserve.
Non-supply of water. Has there been any non-supply of water in the Ndumi Game Reserve, yes or no?
Chair, the Ndumi Game Reserve doesn't fall under my jurisdiction, Chair, so I have not prepared for that answer. I can look into it, Chair, but I thought that would have been more of environmentalist affairs.
The water supply. Was there none water supply, yes or no? Does it fall on you? I mean, you know, it's a simple question. It's water, not environment. Power outages may be something else, but that's not the water supplies. You don't know.
No, Chair, I didn't prefer that answer. I do apologize, but I can find out before we leave, Chair.
Okay.
Okay.
Incomplete water schemes and pipes in the following areas. They're just lying around there. Yes, Ma?
Jefferson, on Jozini. Dam and the like. There's one thing I would like to know as from today. Is it the Jozini Dam caters for the people of Umkhanyakude when it comes
to
water?
The last answer he gave was that they're taking water now from the dam to start
to
give to the communities. The seventh project he raised. He raised other projects about boreholes and some, but the last one he said, because I fought you about the department about that thing when I went on that trip up there. So on the last one he says they're now taking water from the dam and going to supply it in the seventh project to the people around there. So look at the details of the seventh project, Ma, in the answer.
I wish I can go there oversight and get it myself, if it's happening, how I wish.
Yeah.
Because I always get complaints from members of this parliament who come from Umkhanyakude. And then they, whatever report I give them, they say I'm lying.
Well, you've got this answer now. Follow up on this answer. Every time they come, you can now follow up They've got these seven projects. We're going to tie them down. I drove past there. I saw it with my own eyes. That those people there taking water out of the little rivers there, but the big dam is up above here. They don't get water from there. So this seventh project is now trying to link some. I don't know how many, but some of the communities will now get that water. Okay. Thank you, Ma. The fourth issue, incomplete water schemes, the pipe are just lying around in those areas. What response?
Chair, I do apologize. It appears that these were overlooked by myself, Chair. I'll have to respond before we...
Were they given to you?
Chair, they were given to me, but for some reason, I don't know why they were overlooked. They were thought that these were not for ourselves, but Chair, I will respond before we leave.
But who did you think it was for then? It's in KwaZulu-Natal.
Yeah, see, I will look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand how you guys. I mean, you kind of look at me in puzzlement when I get angry. But what do I do? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, these are in your areas. You say, well, you just somehow didn't do it. Even a basic answer. I mean, the last one also, didn't you do that? Availability of water in the following areas. The water odor is very bad. Nokomvangweni, Bubu Benzini, Kwakwa. You don't have it. Well, you won't have a chance. I want reports on my desk on Friday, and I hope, Mr. Daphne, you can see now what we're dealing with. I mean, I don't know if we're unreasonable as a committee, but I mean, people just are not responding to things. When they give answers, they're just not giving answers. So basically what happens in the end of the day, it's a big waste of money. All right, KwaZulu-Natal. Back to Eastern Cape. Basically, the only question is capital funding. So you've given us a piece of paper, but just give me a simple answer, Eastern Cape. How much capital funding has been allocated to assist the water challenge?
Thank you, Chair. My name is Portia Makanya, Regional Head, Eastern Cape. The total given for the capital funding, or secured for the capital funding, is 52 million, with immediate interventions amounting to 8.7 million, and they are listed what they are. Different sources for this funding is DUA, Rhodes University, and Makana itself looking at its own funding. But nothing is funded from NIC currently. And
is that money all available in this budget?
This financial year.
Yes.
Okay. Some of the money has been spent already. The immediate tasks, most of them have been completed already to stabilize the situation. And in the short-term actions as well, the fixing of the pump and ordering of pumps is underway. And each of these is split, and where we have green faces is where funding has been secured and committed for this financial year, and where there is red, it's still to be sourced. We also have, the main issue there is to upgrade the current water treatment work for future demand and to sustain the town.
Are these all, this funding stuff, are these all our responsibilities, or some of them are other levels of government?
There is MIG, which has nothing in the pot currently, Chair. There is bus infrastructure, and the municipality is still also finalizing their technical reports and applications to source this funding, but mainly it will come from MIG, Municipal Infrastructure Fund and Water Affairs.
So all these things here where it's red, where you say no funding secured, it's our responsibility and we don't have funding for it. That's my question.
Yes, Chair. I can put it that way. It's all upgrading of existing infrastructure, refurbishment funding that is required.
All right. Whoever asked this question, any follow-up? Mr. Rogers?
Thanks, Chair. I had a follow-up question for KZN, but I'll come back to it later.
Okay.
Can I ask, Chair, so that we don't delay the meeting, the figures that we were given, the 52 million and the 8.7 million, is not part of the report. Can we ask that the department submit that report to you and that we circulate it to us as well?
Look, all these new matters, they aren't reports. So I said that they must have them by Friday. So we'll have a report by Friday on those issues. So we will have that. Okay. What is the KZN follow?
Chair, under Amzumkulu, we've got one MWIG project which is still in planning. My question to the department is, has the MWIG funding not been allocated already to provinces and to district municipalities?
Well, it has. It is allocated, but we, the department, are responsible for it. Then we sit down, and that municipality with us, with the water board, must then sit down and come up with what the municipality wants to spend it on. When they've done that and we agree and they've complied with all the conditions, then our department signs off on it. And then they get tranches. So, you know, that's how the MWIG works. Remember, we asked them, which we never got a report from the department, which I didn't follow up, was that they must, within 2 months after the beginning of this budget, they must report back to us on all the MWIG projects. Have they sat down with the municipality? Has the municipality agreed to this, etc., etc.? So that exactly, because I knew it's now November, and we're going to next year hear that this money wasn't spent. I knew it was going to happen. That's why we asked the department within 2 months from the beginning of the year to have sat down with every single municipality that's MWIG, which is 23 of them, and make sure that they are agreeing to plans and stuff. So exactly our department can then start getting the water board, start doing the work, and start spending the money. I know what's going to happen. I'm waiting for next year. We'll get a report that all these were not done by X date and therefore have not been spent. I know it's going to happen. That's why I'm now waiting. I didn't follow up. I didn't ask for that report. Well, I asked for it once afterwards. I reminded them at a meeting. I have not done it again. Because this is exactly what I know is going to happen on these MWIG things. And sometimes it's not necessarily the department's fault. It will be the municipality. That is why we suggested. But we are asking you to go and take that municipality and sit down with them. Because that's what the grant says. The grant says we are responsible to let that money go when they've complied with it. And we must make sure that the water boards are involved in it. So that is our job. Now, the hold-ups may be from the municipality, but the problem is that is exactly why we said hold these meetings and come and report back to us, and if there are problems with specific municipalities, we can then get involved. Ask the minister to go and loosen up things. Now, it's November. We still have not received the report on this matter, and I do predict that most of these are going to have big problems because it was not done what we asked them to do. In fact, they did tell us they did meet, but we never received it. Or some of them met, but we haven't received the reports. So that is how the member from KZN, do you want to add anything to that response of the monies with the MWIG? Where are you? Oh, there you are. Have you tied them down to plans, what they want to do? And so you can start doing it then.
Some of them, the first tranche has been made. We haven't made all the tranches to all the municipalities, and we have set up certain plans with them.
Okay.
The understanding is that the municipalities will spend, but while has an oversight.
Over the matter, yeah. Now, you can keep on if Mr. Rogers is wanting to know how that project is going because he has to report back and so on. Please just keep informing him, okay? All right. Because now, if at least, now you see, this is. It's exactly the answer you give me now. Now it empowers Mr. Rogers. Now he can answer people. He says, the municipalities have met, we have agreed to business plans, and we are now starting to play tranches. That's, now he knows. I mean, that's all. That's all that we want to know on these projects. It's not rocket science. No, good. Okay, those are those questions. There was another hand, yeah? Was it you, Ms. Ferguson?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just want to go back to the Grahamstown issue. As we speak, it would appear that the 52 million there appears to be some compliance issues in respect of how the money was spent. I would feel a lot more comfortable if we had actual rollout dates on the delivery of these different projects that you speak about, because it's very much in the air. And this morning I again got a message saying that there are still water delivery concerns. There seems to be mismanagement, or rather compliance, about how the money was spent. So I would feel very, very comfortable if we actually had dates on this rollout and how and when it's going to be sorted out.
Well, she'll give us a report by Friday. Just giving us the headlines.
Yeah.
This project's on the go. We're going to put pipes to Rose University. It's going to so much, and this date. That's all. We just need that stuff to help understand. Okay. I mean, the questions of whether the things are being done correctly, those are not issues for us to look at. I mean, you know, there will always be people that feel it's not done correctly, but we're not there. We just want to make sure that things are happening. So the lady here from Eastern Cape will then respond to us, give us a report by Friday. Just simple, these are the projects, this is what we're going to do. These are some of the things we want to do, but we don't have money for it. Okay? All right. Those are those. Any others? Any others? No? Okay, then we can go to the next one. Gauteng? About Sedibeng sewer works. Basically, is there a tender process on the way? Who's Sedibeng? Sir? Are there tender processes on the way? Have they started? Are there problems with them? And when do we think the work will start? That's just a simple answer.
Yes, there are two aspects here. The one is the long-term Sedibeng regional sewer scheme comprising the whole solution. The other one is the short to medium-term activities that are underway at the moment. That's the upgrade of Sebokeng and the Meyerton works. If we take those two first, the civil works have already started on Sebokeng, so the tenders had been awarded.
Been awarded and the work started.
And the work has started. The electrical tender for that same works was advertised on the 18th of September. It's closing on the 8th of December, and adjudication will then follow immediately after that, and then, of course, construction. And the mechanical tender was advertised on the 18th of September, and it's closing on the 9th of December, and the adjudication will follow thereafter. That is the short to medium
short term. Okay.
The long-term design tender for the whole regional sewer scheme has closed on the 1st of November, and the adjudication process is now underway for that. The next question, was that whether the work has commenced? Yes, on the
well, you told us on the one that started.
On
and
the one
that
started,
the tenders.
Others will follow.
Yeah.
And have there been problems? No, not with the short-term and medium-term tenders that is underway at the moment.
Yeah.
The long-term tender is being adjudicated, and it will then be picked up in this process whether there are any problems. There have been questions around it, but it's been decided by Rand Water, the implementing agent, to carry on with the process and deal with the issues if there are any.
Okay, any follow-up? That's kind of short and sweet and to the point. Ms. Wenger?
Sure, if there are problems, you would like to be informed of what the problems are, because I have heard on the ground that there are problems between Sedibeng and Rand Water, and I think that we should be kept informed if that is the case.
Well, he says that
when
it's been raised, the Rand Water decided to continue. So it looks like there was, but they continue with the work. But the request is that just inform me if they snagged and it's going to hold up the thing seriously. If it's just an easy problem, don't. But if there's anything where the process is now being held up, please let us know, okay? Thank you very much.
Can I add
yes, ma'am.
The
the problem that perhaps that is been referred to is a court case that one of the service providers has taken the rainwater into, but however the court took place on the 29th.
But if there's still tenders, how does the service provider take? Do they take us to court about the tender?
No, it was about the tender that the municipality has tendered out, and then they awarded to a service provider. However, the rainwater, as an implementing agent, has issued out a tender that Mr. Smith is referring to, that has closed on the 1st of November. At this stage,
this court case one is a different tender.
It's a different tender,
with the
but
municipality
of the work, yes,
of the same work.
Of the same work.
Oh.
But at this stage, there is no risk that it is associated. The process in terms of evaluation and adjudication will take place, and if there are any new developments, we will keep you abreast of that.
Okay. You know how tenders go. The ones that lose, for good or bad reasons, will like to take things to court, particularly if it's lucrative. Thank you, sir. Northwest, two issues. Moses Cortana, that's the one we've dealt with, which you're going to meet with Miss, and please give Miss Manganya proper answers, and to equip her, like KZN on this one question, equipped us now for to be able to answer things, okay? The second one, Boshelo. Oh, this Boshelo. When is this thing being disbanded? When?
It's a difficult one.
Not difficult. There's a policy decision by the minister to disband the damn thing.
Yeah, it's in the process of making what Makhali said. I think that is the plan that is on the table now, to merge it with Makhali. So that process is unfolding as I'm speaking to you.
Okay.
We already had...
Mr. Kruger is complaining that Mr. Matabela is not answering within 7 days. Now, I mean... Huh? Mr. Matabela wants Mr. Kruger to answer what?
To answer certain issues around financial...
Can't you use the PFMA? Can't they use the PFMA? The PFMA, even if the person's an ex-CEO, surely the PMFA gives you the kind of powers what you have. I mean, people can't just walk away from departments or agencies and not account properly for finances. But the only thing that can help there is the PFMA, isn't it? I don't know. Who understands finances? Ma'am, you do the CFO.
I'm checking.
Apparently, this Mr. Matabela is trying to answer questions about finances. Mr. Kruger is not wanting to answer him. Doesn't the PFMA give you power to act on it? Okay, you look at that issue, so it's not important for us. Okay. Next one, Limpopo. Theft of expensive and essential infrastructure in Makadu and surround has compelled the Vemba district to beef up their security. Detailed information supplied to department. Is it true, Limpopo? Are you got a bunch of thieves there?
Yeah.
Who's Limpopo? We've got a lot of thieves in Limpopo. It looks like they're stealing everything. Oh. Yeah, Limpopo is full of thieves, man. Answer, man.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Lusikove. I'm the regional head, Limpopo. From the 1st of November. Chair, from our side, we don't have information with regard to the theft. The information and the report that we have provided is around the issue of the decaying infrastructure in Makadu.
So you don't know about these thefts and so on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it is a bit difficult, but if it's a municipal project, we probably won't know about it. The municipality will probably know about it, not us. So you have no information on that issue. Okay.
The one that we have submitted report is
on the decaying infrastructure. No, okay, well that'll be useful.
Sure.
People can have a look at that. Mr.
Skosana?
No, thanks, sir. Even if they don't, even if they don't have any information about the theft, but I should think they must go and look at it. Maybe it is there, she is not aware there is a theft. Otherwise, she will be having a problem. Say, we don't have a theft, hence the theft maybe is there. But let them go and investigate the matter. Thanks.
Hey, on a lighter note, I just received a, some SMS or email. It says, "Non Remus, I'm a single man looking for true love, honest, true love, honest and caring woman. If you are interested, please kindly call." So, if any woman here is interested to for this single man to give him true love, please just contact me. I will pass this message. I don't know how the hell they got my number. Very worrying, very worrying. All right, so those are the all the new issues. Mr. Rogers?
Chair, perhaps we can go back to issue number one, the Western Cape issue that's been
discussed. Yes.
Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Khan, give us a follow-up there, what is happening and how far are we? And you've got a document now. Is there a document, Mr. Rogers? You get one. Okay. Okay.
Thanks, Chair. The reply was given, and I think it's in the document, but it's not probably labeled properly. Thanks, Chair. Bobby Anskloof, the department helped the municipality for many, many years, since 1968 till about 2003, to try and get them water. What they had was, they had a property, they sold it to a private owner, but under that property was a lot of water. So that was water security for the town. Basically, that's what we're talking about. To get to the water, the municipality was stopped from getting to drilling boreholes. They have got about four boreholes on that property. And there was a dispute between the owner and the municipality. We prepared all the license to say yes. I think there was a confusion, Chair, the last time. I didn't make it clear, and I want to do so now, that they wanted additional water to what they were using. And that's lawful use, what they were using.
The municipality wanted more water.
Yes.
Okay.
The municipality wanted more water as well as the landowner.
Oh.
So now the landowner says, and there was this dispute. So I said, don't talk to each other, but rather talk to the Department of Water Affairs. And this way I went there last year to say, you apply to the Department of Water Affairs, and we will use our authorization to see whether we can give you water. So we have written a license authorization which needs approval. But the department says, and I think I agree with that, our national office.
So you've done the license, but it still has to be approved.
It's not approved.
It's being processed.
It's not approved because of one reason, and that is that sort out the servitude first, because we believe that the servitude is the point of dispute.
Yeah.
So we don't have a problem in giving, because our specialist has determined that that water that they need additional can be sourced from this property.
Mm.
So that is where it is at the moment.
So you
go to court.
So who applied for the license? Both of them.
Both of them.
And you say we can give both of you a license, we've got the water, but we first want you to sort out this legal problem.
I'm not talking about the landowner yet, Chair.
No.
We're talking about the municipality.
The municipality,
yes.
Okay.
We will, because the municipality was...
And what's the hold up from their side? Why are they not doing it?
They are relying on the Department of Water Affairs now to hold their hands to go through servitude, and we told them we can't do that. They have to go to court between the two parties, and the department would not be involved in that. When it comes to servitude, they will have to now get it through the court. The additional water, we don't have any objections or reasons to object to them getting more water. I've just raised one issue, that the municipality must not place all the faith on this one property to get the future water needs. They must look at other water sources.
Yeah. Okay, and then the owner?
The surface water, there is some surface water for the owner to use. And I think it is going to be fair. The department allows the owner of the property to have some water. So we determined that there is some water, surface water, that runs on this property. So we are now finalizing that application. Chair, I must say that the application from the landowner was delayed. There was quite a protracted period. They didn't want to apply for license. So I said, if you don't apply for license, you're not going to get permission to use it because it's a new, it's not an existing use. So they have applied, and we've determined that we can, but I don't want to say here that we will approve.
No, well, you don't
we will
say
consider,
that, but,
we will consider
but you're processing that. It, and by when will it be ready, finished?
Our
Your
license,
answer be finished.
Our process in Western Cape is within 3 months we process our license.
How long has it been with you?
You're talking about a private landowner.
Yeah, no, this one, yeah, you're saying you're processing it. You say it takes 3 months. So the question
After
I just asked you, how long has it been with you?
Yeah, I went there last year, January, and they applied for the license, and we were then to and fro, the municipality said, please sort out your servitude. It's not your water use.
No, please, Mr. Khan, now you're waffling. I've asked you a simple question. You're now telling me about the private owner who asked for water. You've said you've assessed it, yes, there is water available.
Yes.
There was a long time in struggling to get an application. There is now an application.
Yes.
The next question was, okay, well, how long does it take you to process an application? Because you're saying it's
now. In the Western Cape, it takes us 1 month.
1 month. Now, then the next question I'll ask you, when did the application, or this application, not the problems that had arrived there, so I can say, by when will this thing be ready? That's a simple question.
The license has been processed for approval. I'm just going to say that because I'm not going to say my office or this office or that office. It's not right proper for me to
Mr. Khan, when was this application that you've now said that they've made, when did it arrive with you?
Chair, that detail of the actual date I can't give to you now. But I can.
Is it a month? Is it a year? Is it 5 months? Is it 6 months? Don't give me the exact days. Because you're telling me you can process in a month. Now I'm assuming, therefore, that the application has not been with you for longer than a month. That's the implication of your answer.
That's true.
The application hasn't been with you for longer than a month.
That's true.
And it takes a month. Why is this man so recalcitrant? Why is he being so difficult?
I'm not being difficult.
Why is he so difficult? DDG. I mean, I can see the body language of other people sitting here. They can't believe that you're answering me in this way. Two simple questions.
I don't have the actual date of the application.
But Mr. Khan, you've come here today, and this is a question that was here last time and this time. And you say you don't have detail. DDG, you the boss. Tell me what I must do now. What must I do?
Chair, I can only apologize on behalf of the department for Mr. Khan and request him to respond adequately to the questions that the chair is asking. Please respond straight to what the chairperson is asking, Mr. Khan.
Mr. Khan, is there anything further you want to add?
Chair, I cannot give you the exact date of the application. I apologize. In the office in the Western Cape, we process our license application within 3 months. Within a month, we process it so that it goes to... I cannot give you the date on actually when the application came to the Department of Water Affairs from the private landowner. Thank you, Chair.
Sir Rogers.
Thanks, Chair. This is a problem that I've been dealing with now for God knows how long. And the original 8 water license application from Bavianskloof, if my memory doesn't fail me, took more than a year. So I don't know where the Western Cape comes with this 3 months. That's absolutely misleading this committee. It is not 3 months. This has taken much more than 3 months. And I find this unacceptable, Jeff. We've got communities that need water, and then we've been told by the Western Cape that they're taking 3 months when it's more than a year. My next question is, Chair, when the first applications were made for the 8 water licenses, was the servitude part of the application? If it wasn't, why is it now a requirement for the remaining four water licenses? It appears to me that there is either a lack of accountability and performance within the department, or there's a hidden agenda here, Jay.
Mr. Kusana, add anything to add?
No, Chairperson. Even myself, I'm a little bit surprised because almost all issues they are incomplete. When you want a response, some of the issues not clear and so on, which means it shows to us the department is not in charge on the ground, particularly on the villages. Can Chair give an instruction to this department through their head to make sure that they go back to the ground and get the real issues and respond to these questions, because some of the questions they are inadequately responded to. That's my feeling, Chair.
Mr. Scott, response to Mr. Rogers' question?
Chair, I've gone through, this is a matter that has been on the table for many years. I've gone through, and I did mention last year, I went through personally and had a meeting because it was with the lawyers. So I said, let us go through, and we had agreement. And the agreement was that the municipality has got lawful use, and in the title deed, Chair, they said the municipality shall use all the water from this property. And my question was, what is all the water? So I got the specialist there, the groundwater specialist, to say how much of this water is all the water. Because in the title deed, the landowner cannot use any water, all must be then dedicated to the municipality. So the last year, January, we had a meeting and we said, let's agree that we'll have a definite amount of water that the municipality can take from this property. And we did that. The application was not on the table last year, January. So then we said, please apply to the department, both the parties, the landowner as well as the municipality. The municipality then applied, and we said, yes. I think the question, in response to the question of servitude, no. The servitude, the department cannot get involved because it's a cost matter.
That's not the question. The question is, why have you made it a condition? If it wasn't a condition in the other applications, why are you making it a condition now? That's the question.
If I understand the question, Chair, properly, is that the dispute was the landowner was not allowing the municipality to extract water from its boreholes. So we said the proper thing to do, legal thing to do, was to get a servitude so that they can then fence off that property and access to their boreholes. Then the municipality would have jurisdiction over that land and they can use that water for extraction.
I thought you just told us that the servitude says all water.
The title deed says all water.
The title deed says all water. Now, you see what Mr. Rogers is asking, I don't know, but he's asking, if I was the municipality and my title deed said you can use all the water, and the Department of Water now comes along and says, we don't know what all the water means, and we now want you to take a servitude. If I'm the municipality, why would I want to do that? If my title deed says all the water, why would I want to take out a servitude and say, no, I don't want all the water, I'm going to give some of it away?
Chair,
so why, and on what basis do we legally have the competence to say to them, you must go and sort out the servitude before we are going to look at your application?
Chair,
I think that's the question, and it seems to me a very reasonable question.
Chair, the department needs to respond on that, and I think we'll have to respond in writing through the department. Please, if you can allow us that opportunity to respond, because that's the point of discord, that we think that the servitude, and by the way, Chair, the servitude is a...
Yeah, but you may think so, Mr. Khan, you may think so, and you may put these conditions to it. As soon as the municipality then says, no, we're not going to do it, you say, I now wash my hands of it, I'm not going to deal with the servitude thing. Now, I don't think you can operate like that. I really don't. And I would ask Mr. Daphne and DDG that this issue be looked at a national level to solve the issue. If the municipality has got a title deed that says you can use all the water, I mean, how can we create an obligation for the municipality and tell them that we now want you to take out a servitude on the matter? I mean, all that has to happen, the department, what it does, it approves licenses. So it must approve the license. If there's the water there, they're entitled to it. It must approve those things. But I do think we're really getting ourselves into the wrong area of involvement here. I mean, you know, we can't start telling the municipality to go and start doing things. I know that it may be doing it out of trying to solve this problem finally. But in the end of the day, it's not for us to really solve the issue. If people can't solve it amongst themselves, then they must go to court to solve the matter. I mean, I think that is a very legitimate question Mr. Rogers is asking. If we've never said that there must be a servitude previously before we look at an application, why on earth will we now get involved and try and act as a court of law, number one? Number two, please, Mr. Khan, just process these two matters, whatever your answers are. We cannot sit here in another meeting by not having these issues resolved. At least when you give your decision, I'm not asking you to tell us what your decision is, but at least if you've given it, then people can act against you. They can take you to court if they disagree, or they can do something. But the one thing we can't do is we can't play, try and make it a real court of law to tell people how to do things. That's not our job. Our job is to, and what you've told us now, is that in both instances, these people should, and there is the water available, and we should make the decision. I don't think we can create conditions that are just not right. If anyone wants to have a condition of a servitude and so on, if the municipality wants it, let them go and fetch it without us getting involved. We can't win it. How do we give the municipality legal advice? And then we say, we've given you the legal advice, and over and above the legal, we're now going to make that legal advice a condition of our application. If it was me, if I was the lawyer on the other side, I would take you to court immediately. I'll tell you, you're acting completely illegal. So please, let's just solve these issues. I don't care how you solve it and what your decisions are. I'm not interested in to know what your decisions are. Just get on with this issue. I want a report by the end of November telling me how far this process is and the estimated time by which these applications will be finalized. End November. No later. DDG, you personally and Mr. Makoba, personally, must make sure that that thing is on my desk on the 30th of November. Okay. As I say, I'm not interested in what decision you make and why and so on. That people, if they don't like it, they can take it to court. I'm not interested in that. I just want the process by when these things are going to be done, because I am absolutely, I've now got lawyers writing to me to solve and to meet with them. I don't want to meet with lawyers. I don't want to get involved with this thing. It's not for me to get involved with it. But there are some hard questions the department must ask itself. You may have done it in good faith, the servitude thing, but whether it's correct is very highly debatable. I'm just going to put it that high at this stage. Okay, let's just move on with this thing and make decisions one way or the other. If these people cannot live with each other, let them go and then fight court battles. Let us not be part of the court battles. Let us do our things on time. All right. Mr. Rogers?
I don't want to belabor it, but we've already, the department's already been instructed by the court on the original applications to resolve this matter. That was on the first 8 applications. And part of your report, Chair, I want to know when that application was made for the first 8 water licenses and when they were issued. Thanks, Chair.
Please give us that report by the end of November. Start with this now, the finalization, and then you give some of the historical stuff that have been asked, okay? Please, Mr. Khan, don't let me fight about it. You live in the Western Cape here, man. Don't let me fight with you about Western Cape things. Okay.
I apologize.
All right, man.
You don't have a fight because I'm not fighting.
Good.
I apologize.
Good, good. Let's just resolve this issue. Okay. And as I say, it's not for me to resolve it which way. You do that. I want to make that clear. It's not for this committee to tell the department how to do things. But I cannot take more complaints about this matter. Okay? Anything else, any of the members? Ms. Manganya?
Thank you very much. I must give the lady here the so that Mr. Balsa must send the question that I have sent it to him, because it was in a dangerous situation. That's why I did send it direct to him. But I will also still speak with them outside this meeting, because the dam, the reservoir in Madibeng, is badly leaking. Last year we lost one child inside the clean water that is leaking. We've got 16 houses that we must relocate from the reservoir, because we don't know what is happening, because it came underground. People there, they can't move their car in. The kids are always having a running nose. We talked lengthily with him, and then he told me I will get the answer today, because he was sending Mahali's water there to go and check. So I was just reminding the department.
Ma, I want you. You've got that young man there in your sights. I want you to meet with him today and raise all these issues and let them report to us, okay? All the issues you have on that area. This is an issue we've not just been dealing the last two concerns. This is an issue since I've been in this committee, we've been dealing with this 52 villages. Okay, so you guys will meet on that. Anything else? Now, let me, please, now I want you to listen very carefully. And I want you to go back and report this very carefully. We are still in the beginning of this process, and there's some teething problems. Okay. From now on, I'm not sure if we will have another concert. It will depend. I don't know what Parliament's program is going to be in. So there may be another one more constituency thing like this, depending on the program of Parliament. All these issues that we've been asked here today have been raised. There must be reports on all those issues. Some of them you have given reports, but they're follow-up questions, so you make them. Like those KZN reports are useless, so they must be redone. So all those issues that have been raised here today, they're not finalized yet. We need a final report on them. So you go and draft these things, you get them ready, and someone in the department that is senior enough must sit down and look at these reports, that they are done in a way that is, you now see what we want. We're not here to second guess the department or anything. Most of these queries we get is things are not happening, things are happening too slow, you know, whatever. And we ask you to respond to that. So you need to give us simple answers, like KZN did on the M-Week thing, the Gauteng did on the tender issue. Simple answers to equip the MPs to go back to their communities and to properly explain what the issue and what the problem is. That is what is necessary. It's no use if we ask you a question about Nandoni, that you say, send us a thick report like this and say, here's a report, look for yourself. That's not the idea of it. That stuff we'll do in the rest of the year when we look oversee your finances and stuff. Here are simple constituency issues that MPs must be able to report to their people what are happening with water issues. That is how you must draft your report. If someone asks you a question about what projects, how are we going to provide water for these 52 villages? You must empower the MP to be able to say, look, our big problem is we don't have bulk water. So to get bulk water, we're going to do this. We've got a budget of 200 million already. We're going to source it from there. We're going to have to put in pipes. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to create a reservoir. And this is all going to take this long. Now, to get the bulk water to the 52 villages, this is what our plan is going to be. And you briefly say what is going to be done. Then that MP is able to go now to deal with those issues. No thick, long reports, and that's not what it's about. These are constituency issues, I mean, that we need to try and we become your eyes and ears in the community. Because you now here have politicians who have legitimacy in the community and can go there and explain this is what the department is doing. So the better you equip the MPs, the better they can go and do the work of the department. And the better we can sell the department. And we can understand your problems and your difficulties and so on. So this is what this must be about. You can't just leave this individually to people to do on their own. I actually think they're just sending the regional heads here start showing you that the department is not looking at this thing clearly. I would have expected that your top leadership in the department will be here to answer these questions. Now, I understand that your DG is in Namibia. I understand that, and there's a difficulty. But that is how it needs to be done. Then the second thing is, from now on, we will make sure that we have the Ms. Dawood. If we're going to have the meeting on Wednesday. If we're going to have the meeting on a Wednesday, then the Friday before the Wednesday is a cut-off date for questions and for so on. So that we can give it and then we can have responses to it. So that we can do these things quicker when we get here. And we can have the responses beforehand. The minister told me she's signed off on these responses. I'm very surprised to hear that things have only happened yesterday. But maybe there's a misunderstanding. So that is how we need to do these things. These things are something to help the department. At the moment, I have the impression, because the top leadership are not here and don't understand how the committee work, that I think there's a hesitancy amongst your regional heads here to answer these questions properly. Because they're not sure, should I say these things, shouldn't I say? I have that impression. I may be wrong, but I have that impression. The next thing is, so next year we should have, you now know which issues have been raised here which you need reports for, and next year you'll have the new questions beforehand. So I only want a delegation that has to come and answer those questions that we have. You then don't have to ask everyone to be here. We don't need delegations as big as this. It'll be the people then that we have the old questions, and the ones that are the new ones, those are the people. And I'm hoping that you don't have to send your regional heads to come and answer those questions. Originally, when we just said, come here, we want to raise problems, I can understand as the regional heads, because we didn't know what we're going to raise. But now you know what we're raising. So these huge delegations, I mean, Mr. Gordon, Pravin Gordon has just told us, and he wants to make sure that we don't get these huge delegations to Parliament and spend all this money. So I think we must do this thing smarter from now. You've now had two bites at the cherry. You cannot say you don't understand what we want. It is simple stuff. This is not rocket science. These are ordinary problems of water that we deal with on the ground as members of Parliament. And this is an opportunity we're giving you as a department to make us your spokespersons to try and solve these problems on the ground. That's as simple as this whole process is. Any questions, DDG? Ma, sorry, first let me hear. Ma?
I support what the chairperson is saying, that there is no need for this big delegation to come and answer whatever. Because the delegation is so big and it's so expensive, really. Some, they just come, they end up saying nothing. It looks like a special visit. I agree with you that next time, let the department sort itself who is coming and who is not coming. Thank you.
Thank you, Ma. Any else any of the members, do you want to add anything?
Chen, do we have anyone here from environment to deal with the issues under environmental?
They come.
Oh, they come. Thanks.
Okay, DDG, from your side.
Thank you, Chairperson. We have taken note of all what you have raised, and I agree in terms of the delegation in in future, and I think we have in the past tried to bring the delegation that is particular to the subject. But I must apologize. Perhaps in this particular case, we will look at the old cases where all the regions were applicable into that, and with the new cases that were raised, yes, indeed, there were only six regions that would have been, and in terms of the proper delegation of the level, we will in the future bring the right delegation to the committee. And thank you very much for the engagement that we had. Sometimes it helps for us when the engagement are hard, because we are able to move and faster than we would have. But thank you very much, Chair. And the report that we will be submitting, the report on Friday, as indicated, and the one that is...
That's all the new ones on Friday. Then all the ones that were follow-ups and people weren't happy with, that must be ready for the next meeting. And then the Buffy-Hansklof one, I want to report at the end of November. Okay?
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. All right, the department is excused. Anyone want to go to small, dark places? We'll then start with DIA. The constituency issues for DIA. Serene, sort out this file for me, that it's deer stuff in here. So where's the deer stuff? So just sort that file out for me. There may be duplications and things, just whatever I need in that file, okay?
I'll give you all this environment now.
Okay, water affairs out. Out. Amba. Dark places. The rest of you can just go to dark places.
Anil is just incomprehensible.
competent and he's dishonest. I mean, even the messages he sends me. He then says to me, in any case, we understood that we're only going to deal with this matter next year. When he said in the meetings here, when I said, we want to finalize the matter that this year, we've agreed with minister to finalize it so that we can then vote on the things in next year. That's what he said. Then he writes these dishonest things to me and I don't want to do it. I don't want to deal with a man like that.
So in this particular case, in this discussion, will Ndangi contribute much better?
Look, if there's someone here, it's fine. If there's not someone here, it's fine. I mean, I'm not going to. I do not want to deal with Mr. Singh anymore.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, he's incompetent and he's dishonest. You know, even last time, we had a fight with him last time about things that weren't done. I said to him, you must go back like Pierre does. And when you've got amendments, you must go and put it in the original act for us in color so that we can see it. He said, no, and he had stories. I said, but I told you personally, I told you to do this. You haven't done it. It's now a few weeks later. He still hasn't done it. Now, when I ask the man, and I'll say to him, but why haven't you done it? Then he'll have long stories. Well, I didn't know, and no one told me. When he sits in the meeting, I don't want anything to do. I don't want to discuss the matter. As far as I'm concerned, I just don't want it. I have never done it with any member of any department, but with him, I do not want to deal with it. Because if you're dishonest, when you're dishonest to my face when you sat in meetings, I just don't want nothing to do with it. But I'm going to say things in public that he doesn't want to hear. I'm going to say things that are very, very... You know, and what he does, when I send this message just to him, I don't send it to anyone else. I say, please, and I don't want to have any story, I want someone here. He then writes this whole response of his, and he sends it, CCs it to a whole host of people. Now, he's undermining himself. But you can see what he is. He's very dishonest. That's why he's now he CCs a whole lot of... Okay, I put this up. I'm CCing all of those people as well, so they can see how incompetent he is. If that's what he wants, that's how I will do it. I didn't CC it to anyone. He goes and CCs this thing to everyone and says this is what his response is. All I want, I don't want it in my meeting. That's all. Now, it's the end of the story.
And then, Chair, the meeting, the one of the Limelights, is going to take place after the draw.
Yeah.
After the draw.
Yeah.
That will be at 1.
No, it will be now. When we finish here, we'll start it with it.
Okay.
We haven't got this afternoon. We finish now.
Okay. Because I could come over.
Look, I already sent a message to the DG this morning to say I'm going ahead with it. I don't care if there's no one here from Dwa. All I don't want Mr. Singh here. That's all. Alright, can you just call them? Let's start. Shireen, just call people here. Just call Shaleka. Start quickly. We got a tight schedule and we've now struggled with water affairs, so let's just try and hurry up. I don't know. in check with the family. As far as I've been, she didn't tell me that they have control. We've agreed with it, but we told them they must send a notice, they must make arrangements. We told them they must do it. Can we quickly start? Welcome. Mr. Wills is leading the delegation. There are three new issues. The first issue, strictly speaking, is not a constituency issue, but we'll take a response. First issue, your response?
Chair, we have put together a set of, there's a set of questions that we've received. Is this the first issue that you referred to?
The Isimvelo KZN report. Don't they have this document? The procedure that has to be there is that with old questions like last time's questions, you should have given us a written report on each of them so that we can follow up. And then there are new issues. You've mixed them up.
Yeah, Chair, it appears that we've got a written response to all the issues, the August issue and the three
The first issue, the first new issue is this. Why does the Isimvelo KZN report to KZN province and not Sand Parks? Can this be changed now? Now, I say that's a policy issue, not a constitutional issue, a constituency issue, but I'm going to allow you to respond.
Yes, thank you, Chair. That issue, our response is that Isimvelo KZN is a public entity of the KZN provincial government, established by their provincial legislation in terms of their constitutional competence. This is a result of the concurrent competence of, between national, provincial, and local spheres of government. At the moment, Isimvelo...
So it's an agency the province has created.
It's an agency in terms
of... It can be changed, but the province will have to change.
Yeah. This can only really
be... Which they won't do because Sandbox National, it means they give it to Sandbox, which... So the province wouldn't want to do it.
But it would require both executive and parliamentary agreement.
Why parliament?
Because...
It's a provincial matter, it's provincial legislation. So it's just the province that has to deal with
it. Yeah, but the Protected Areas Act, the Sand Parks Act, would have to be amended.
To make them part. I'm with you. So they'll have to be that. So whose question was this? Mr. Rogers, you want to follow up?
No, I've got the details.
Yeah, thanks. Ma'am? Yes.
Chair, may I just ask a question? I think of yesterday in the newspapers that Isimvelo was having a whole week-long workshop regarding all sorts of environmental issues and park issues. And they were going to be discussing national policies and legislations that they want to implement and so on. Do they have the authority to come up with their own, instead of going through the department or the national structure?
Yeah, if they're going to legislate, of course, concurrent power means that they can legislate in the same area. But they'll only legislate, of course, for their province, not for the whole country. So they've got legislative power.
So may I just follow up? Because it was referring to national policy.
No, they can't do national. They can input into national policy. They can make suggestions of it, but clearly they can't affect our policies. Yes,
but Chair, what they are responsible for is that once national policy and legislation is put in place, providing the norms and standards, they may wish to translate that national policy into provincial legislation. So there's a direct link between
the national policy and legislative norms and standards set at national level and how they are implemented at provincial level.
But so ultimately, if they wanted to go and do something completely different, nothing stops the province from doing that. And if the national legislation conflicts with the provincial legislation, then I think it's section 143 in the Constitution tells you which legislation will prevail and so on. So it's a whole complex little issue. But in most areas, the legislation is passed nationally and so on, and then provinces just implement. Okay. Second issue, has the department received an EI application from AFRIMAT for calcinating for a calcinating plant in Daleside, and the status of the application? It is in a residential area.
Chair, this is we have not received. DEA has not received an application. We have examined, inquired with the province and other databases, and neither have those authorities, competent authorities, received.
So you've not received, and your research doesn't show that the province has received.
No,
Ms. Winger.
Yes, thank you, Chair. It's interesting because there has been an EIA process that has unfolding at the moment, and it's in a village where I live. And there has been an EIA process. Notifications have gone out that are going through this EIA process. The consultants that were running the process have not been able to get absolutely any technical answers to the questions. They've run out of the objection papers. There have been over 500 people at the meeting to register their concerns and to vote and to...
But is this run by a government department or by a... You know what happens is yesterday,
we could
in fact...
We could not get clarity on it either, Chair.
Yesterday, Mr. Yeah. Kurnoff, in fact... No, not Mr. Kurnoff, Mr. Tall Chip, I forget his name, came to me to show something in Standerton. And what... It's there, Sasol themselves got all these expensive consultants in, and they go and consult the community. You know what they're asking the community? Do you agree that we ask an exemption from the emission standards? So it's a private Sasol consulting with the community. The impression is government doing it, but are they consulting? And what they're trying to get is the community's support to be able to go and say to DIA, your emission standards, we want an exemption from it. So that's why I was asking you, is this government or is it...
They could not give an answer, Chair.
Well, she, Mr. Wills is now saying that on all the databases they checked, in government there's no such an application.
So, Chair, I can go back to the community and say peacefully that there
we've not been able to trace anywhere in government that there's this application being processed in government. Mr. Wolf?
Chair, as you rightly point out, there's no provision in law that says that an application has to be made prior to a public participation process. So it's quite common in EIA situations for an applicant to appoint an environmental practitioner without submitting an application and initiate a public participation process. So
that's probably what happened here.
Yeah.
But Ms. Wenger?
Chair, yes, I understand that, and thank you very much for that answer. However, what is of concern to me, that the process was run where not enough objections from the board received. So when you get your application, there's only going to be the handful that they've made provision for, and the balance of the people that could not raise the objections or fill in those forms, which they ran officially, are going to fall off the table, and you're going to be misinformed when you receive that application.
Yeah, it doesn't take away the requirement for public participation within the formal process.
You guys will then have to have a public participation.
We still
process.
Require formal public participation.
So it doesn't matter what these people do. In fact, that's what I told this chap who is looking at this, I think it's Standerton. I said to them, you can go and tell them there that this is a foofy. These people are trying to get you, the poor community, to buy in, and then they want to, in their application, say we consulted the community and they have no objections and so on. In any case, I mean, any department is going to be foolish to take that into consideration. I'll take no, if I was in the department, if some applicant comes to me and said, this is my public participation process, I wouldn't put any store by that whatsoever. In any case, we will then have to, if it comes to our department, we will have to have our processes in any case. Any further on that one? And then the next one is the Eastern Cape. I think I received this one. I handed it to Ms. Dawood. Appeal against the environmental authorization issued. Now, of course, appeals, we don't get involved with at all. I don't touch appeals. Someone says to me, I'm busy appealing to the department. I say, well, why are you talking to me? Because I don't want to create the impression that we are interfering in departmental processes. I mean, if there's an appeal procedure, then that appeal procedure must run its course. And we in Parliament must never, never get involved, and we mustn't second guess. The only times we'll get involved if the appeal maybe has taken a year and the decision hasn't been, you know, something like that. But I don't know what the issues were here. Well, what is the response, Mr. Wills?
Well, thank you, Chair. The Minister on the 22nd of October this year, 2013, dismissed this appeal. A copy of the decision and the appeal response report was provided to the applicant. The Minister, having made her decision, is now non functus officio, and the appellant's only recourse is to approach the court.
Yeah. Okay, I think that lays that issue to bed. That's the correct way for us to deal with this matter. Any of the members, are there any of the issues last time that were raised that you want to do any follow-ups on? Ms. Bengu?
Though it's not mentioning here is the issue of dumping sites in the areas of Mzinga. It's also the dumping sites are near the community, especially the medical medical waste.
Mzinga?
Yes, it's Mzinga area, Mzibela Ferry.
Was this one of the old issues last time?
Yes, I raised it last time.
And you said there's been no response?
Yeah, I haven't got the response from that. Because I just raised it, but it was saying no, because it's water issues now, I can raise it on the environmental day. Thank you.
Okay. That's the one issue you can think about that, and then Ms. Wenger?
Thank you, Chair. On the previous issue, under the air quality, there are two reports outstanding. I have not seen them, unless I've misread them somewhere. The committee requested a report on the issue of the air quality, and the department also reminded that they still owe reports on the committee and township smog and mine dust.
Do you have reports on this? We haven't been given a report.
Yeah, Chair, we have a written response, but perhaps I can ask Dr. Tully to...
But where is it? But why don't we have it? That's the issue. I mean, we must have the reports.
Yeah.
I mean, the responses.
My apologies.
I mean, yeah, the summary of this thing clearly says the committee requests a report on this issue.
Yeah.
So where's the report? We haven't received it.
No.
Doctor? Where's my report? Why haven't I got it?
Morning, Honourable Member. Morning, Chair. There is a draft strategy which we must still submit, circulate with the members. We are still consulting on the documents that it puts.
No, but ma'am, you're not. That's not the issue. The issue is not a policy document. There's a specific question that was here on SETI Bank. And then you gave an answer here. Here's your answer you gave. Then it says the committee requested a report on this issue. That's all we're asking you. It's on that issue that was raised last time.
We will provide the report, Chairperson. We have
there's other, yeah, here's another one here. Makadu. The committee requested a report. Western Cape. The committee requested a report. None of those reports are here.
Yeah, Chair.
Can I have those reports by Friday?
We can give it to you today, Chair. We have the report here.
But that's not a report. That's a summary of all the issues. I'll need a proper report.
We need a proper report.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll provide that.
Not part of our response and what you're going to say in the committee. Yeah. That's what you're saying in the committee. Yeah.
We will provide
that. When we ask for a report, it's actually to be able to get that detail of what we asked the question.
Correct.
By Friday.
We'll do that.
Okay. Any other issues to be raised here, Mr. Rogers?
Thanks, Chair. Just a point of clarity on the hunting in KZN. I see the question has been referred to KZN Wildlife. Do we have the delegated authority to expect a response from him, or is this line of response to the KZN legislature?
Well, it's probably there, but because we've raised the issue here, the department should try and see if they can't get a response to the matter.
Yes, Chair, we have made inquiries with KZN Wildlife, and we are expecting a response.
You don't have it yet.
We don't have it yet.
Okay, so we'll have that response as well.
There may be follow-up questions the committee may have, yeah. and we should be directing that to the province. Thanks.
Okay, so we want a copy of that report once they get it from KZN. Please follow it up and tell them this is not a wait forever question. I want a response now, before the end of November. Ms. Wenger?
Thank you, Chair. Just to add on to that, the problem has now expanded to Gauteng as well. We have major problems now all of a sudden. Dogs being stolen and used for dog fighting from secure homes.
Yeah. Chair, I think that we need to be aware that animal welfare issues are dealt with under the Animal Welfare Act, which is an act administered by agriculture, not by Department of Environmental Affairs. It's always been, since 1994, one of those kind of grey areas where there's this crossover between animal welfare and what constitutes wildlife, and dog hunting wildlife is one of those issues. So the actual issue related to the procurement of the dogs for this particular activity or for dog fighting is actually
in
that department, and it's an SPCA issue per se, directly.
Okay, well, we can't deal with that then. Ms. Wenger, we'll leave you to whoever your committee person is in that area needs to take it up there. Okay, thanks. All right, that's it. All right, Ms. Rogers?
Sorry, Chair. Perhaps the department could give us some insight into the challenges at Ndumba Game Reserve. Water Affairs was unable to comment the fact that they've got no water and electricity. Are you aware of any challenges in the game, is it?
No.
We can ask Isimvela.
Can you try and check for us and see if there's if you can get an answer
from Isimvela Wildlife?
Mm. Okay.
Thanks.
Mark?
It's water and...
Chairperson. I know I might be out of order. I would request an answer next time in the near future when it comes to air quality. How is Sasolburg of now late? Because there were times when Sasolburg was affecting the Zambela people like nobody's business. They were crying tears. Zambela and Secunda, Sasol in Secunda. It was all from the community. And well, I don't want to talk about Durban South because I haven't heard anything from the department. Durban South, you know, those refineries, the benzene, the Mondi paper, you name it. I'm just taking interest to know how are things of now late? Maybe there is an improvement of which one can be very happy to hear about that. Thank you.
Dr. Tully will perhaps be able to summarize our monitoring.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I will start with the Durban South matter. The issues in the Durban South were addressed, and the monitoring results are showing compliance with ambient air quality standards. We have presented previously to the Portfolio Committee those graphs, and we will include them in the report that we are going to submit by Friday. They are showing compliance. We still have a problem in Sasolburg, but the monitoring results are showing that it is all the sources in the area that are contributing to the problem, including the power generation, the mines, the mining also generates a lot of particulate matter. And so in the Air Management Plan, we are addressing all those problems, as well as the industrial emission limits that we have worked on and presented to the committee previously. So out of all these areas that you have listed, Honourable Member, we still have a problem in Sasolburg, and we are still working on it. The others have improved, especially Durban South, quite dramatically, and the monitoring is showing compliance to the standards in that area.
Rogers.
Chair, and then just finally, to take us back to our VRRR reports, one of the reports we wanted in writing from the department and from Sandparks was posts that were filled without following the normal procedure and without advertising. Has that report reached your desk yet? And then under Water Affairs, which I should have raised earlier, we requested a report on posts, the technical posts that are vacant, particularly in the rapid response unit. If you remember, those questions were raised and asked for.
Yeah, no, but those aren't constituent stuff, so I imagine those reports. Yeah, no, I haven't received any reports. I haven't received any reports. So we'll, when we get those, we'll. In fact, I don't even think Parliament has sent those VRRR because they were only adopted yesterday in Parliament. So what then usually happens is the Speaker then writes to the Minister and say, here's the report, and respond to it. So they'll only get it. So they wouldn't have responded yet because they haven't received it yet. Okay? All right, that is that on constituency stuff. Now, can we quickly do the NEMLA? I see there's a document like this. Tells you, remember our agreement was we wanted to try and get this bill to a high level of finalization before we leave so that we can then try and finalize it in the beginning of next year. So let's quickly see what is the new stuff that have been added.
Chair, there are two tracks that I think I need to present to the committee. The one track is late last night, we received finally after meetings with the staff, the technical staff from Mineral Resources, their comments on the bill. And they've raised a number of issues which we have circulated to you. And the second track is going through our responses or proposals to the suggestions and inputs made by the committee.
Is that department here?
It does not appear so.
You tell them I want, by the end of today, I want a letter on my desk. Their minister told me personally that when we have meetings, they should be present. I assume you, the department, invited them to be here and told them we're meeting today. I want a letter by the end of today why they did not attend the meeting. And secondly, I'm going to let you circulate these comments to the members, but I do not want to discuss their problems. I want the department to go and sit, the three departments to sit down until we've done now, where I've sat down with the ministers. I want the three departments to sit down with the senior staff and they must sort these things out. This issue about narrowing the mining area for this legislation, it's got nothing to do with their other legislation. We're not trying to take away any of their, I don't want to discuss anything of mineral resources. There was a legitimate argument made before the committee that the broader you make the definition of mining area, the bigger, bigger chance you have of losing a court case one day. There will in any case probably be a challenge with us taking away the powers of provinces and national and giving it to minerals. There will probably be a challenge. But in legal terms, the broader you make that power, the better chance they've got of losing it. Now, I'm not going to sit here and preside over legislation for the sake of minerals. You must tell them I say so. For their sake, because they think they want a broad consent. I want to make this thing as narrow as possible for constitutional reasons and for us to be able to get the agreement we've got there. This thing that it must apply to adjacent areas and therefore apply to the whole country basically is just not on. Okay? Now I don't want to debate this thing. You must go to them and you guys must talk to them and explain to them what this issue is about. If they, their minister told me they will have someone in this meeting. They don't have someone in this meeting. So I cannot engage with people because they're not here. In any case, I shouldn't be engaging with them because you three departments should sort these things out. There is a problem that has been raised that we need a solution for. DIA has come up with a solution. We must, you, DIA, must sell it to them. And then come back with a response for us, one response on this issue. This thing I was personally told by the two ministers sitting in meetings with me, that this is what we want and we're going to do this thing like this. I don't want to hear from low DMR officials. They talk a load of crap, you know. I just don't want to hear that. You guys go and sort it out with them, Mr. Shabalala. Yes.
Just on that issue, Chair. On Monday, we met with them. So they indicated that they have a portfolio committee to finalize their bill also today. So they indicated that there might not be people that they can...
Mr. Shabalala, we have agreed that it doesn't matter who is meeting, someone from our department should always be in their meeting, and their minister told me someone from their department must always be in our meeting. I'm not interested in sitting in other meetings finalizing their bills. They should have someone here that can deal with these issues. Their minister said so, for God's sake. I want a letter.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. We'll definitely communicate with the DMR requesting a letter of explanation. With regard to how we address these comments, we hear what you've directed. We will engage with the mineral resources at a technical level to come with a solution. We do believe that we have at least isolated where the difference is, if I could maybe share. I think the issue that, or the challenge that we face is that the text as we've currently put it forward is linked to the definitions of areas, the spatial areas. When in actual fact, we think a way forward is to rather link the Section 24C assignment of a competent authority to the Minister of Mineral Resources by activity, by not area, but activity in order to be very specific about which activities they are authorized and not link it to these area-based definitions where we're trying to change. We in our act are having a different definition to the same area in their act. So,
you know, that'll constitutionally help us more as well.
So be very specific on the exact activities that the minister is being granted competent authority for. So, but that solution, Chair,
we have to work on that.
We will take at a technical discussion with the mineral resources staff, and that would perhaps. In the reading of this bill in front of us, just to keep in mind that we still have definitions which are in blue that are still area based, and
we can skip those. Well, I like this new idea. I'd rather let you pursue that more.
Okay, thank you.
Which means that we won't be able to look at this before next year, but then we'll have to make some time next year. Look at this.
Okay, but
it does immediately, as you said it, I just thought to myself, why haven't we thought of it? Because what it does do, it stops looking at mining areas, and you don't have to have the definitions for it. It's when it's a mining activity related to this kind of environmental activity, which is either a stockpile or whatever it is, or an EIA for something, that is going to be the issue then. I'm liking that more. So what we'll do is all this stuff of, remember we told them to go now, get a definition of exploration area for this area, for that area. That stuff we'll put on the back burner now, and let's see where this thing takes us. This new approach, okay? All right, so that'll be skipped then on page, there are no page numbers. The first blue just below community we don't have to do then. On the next page, we don't have to do that. Then there's financial provision. This is the stuff that the CER asked us, and we agreed to. The department agreed to as well. Who's going to take us through this?
Mr. Shavalala.
I think on that definition, Chair, the last meeting, because the definition having the correct paragraph, so we were asked to actually come up with the A, B, C, and D, and E, so that it reads well from because initially it lumped everything together.
Mm.
So now we just try to make sure that we categorize it accordingly, and that's the proposal that we.
Okay. So the principle remained the same.
Yes.
Okay. Then the next page, minister. The next page, area. Then C. C has the meaning that is in the Coastal Management Act. Well, there can't be anything wrong with that. Then there's nothing. Section 24, nothing. Where's the next one? I think it's appeals is the next step.
No, the next one says 24C, but because it's linked to the discussion that we had earlier about the mining area mending, so it has a consequential amendment to 24, capital letter C, 2A.
Oh, okay, that's not. No, we don't want to deal with those area amendments. 24L. There's a may and a has been.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. We've been looking at this particular amendment very carefully. The problem that we have with this language is that it's very confusing. And what we thought that we should do is to tighten up this language, And in essence, what we're proposing, or what asking the committee to perhaps consider, if you read the language in yellow, a competent authority empowered under Chapter 5 to issue an environmental authorization, and an authority empowered under the specific Environmental Management Act to issue an authorization, permit, or license, in terms of such specific environmental management acts, it should be acts, may. And what we propose is let's bring, delete the rest of that language. Delete the qualifier. May issue separate authorizations or agree that the competent authority empowered under Chapter 5, and insert there, or an authority empowered under a CEMA, may issue an integrated environmental authorization, full stop. So to simplify...
Yeah, I've got no problem with that. I can see what you're trying to do, although I'm not fully understanding the clause. My only worry with this thing is that it's not only if it's the same activity, it must also be the same competent authority. That's what worries me more about this. Because it's only... You only want someone to collapse a whole lot of authorization if it's the same minister. But it's not if the one minister does the one thing and another minister does the other. Like, for example, we've now given the minister under the Air Quality Act, we've given her the power to give the licenses for air quality, our minister. Now, you see, you don't want them to read this and say if there's licenses and a whole lot of things together, now that this person can now issue the whole lot of them. You must just make sure that the wording doesn't allow for that. That it's not only the same activity, it's also the same competent authority. It's only if it's the same competent authority that has to do more than one thing, that they can do it in one application. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So if it's some things that are still falling under our minister and some things under DMR's minister, then clearly there mustn't be a wording that can be misunderstood that minister is now going to do all of this. If you know what I'm trying to say. Okay, so we'll just put here, you can then reword it accordingly.
To tighten
the whole language, I mean, you may need a qualifier in the sense that you need to make sure that it's not going to be an open-ended thing and be read that now everything's been collapsed into one minister. Okay? Everyone happy with that? All right.
Well, I mean, Chair, the question begs whether or not, if it is the same minister, can't the minister administratively just do an integrated permit? But
there may be, you know, I mean, I know we've now changed it in AQUA as well, that it does look like we don't have a specific authorization in the legislation for that, and that's why we're putting it in there. So I don't have a problem to do that. You can maybe even have, I mean, maybe what should be done is not even, you just have a blanket which is NEMA. If you in NEMA make it very clear there that everything that falls under the minister, our minister, can be dealt in one application, that's the kind of thing that I think, which I think we're trying to do here now. And that will, for example, then, you know, take away the problems in the CEMAs, because then at least we know that that is the case. But the problem with this is, as I said, when you read it, it wasn't clear to me that we're saying it's one minister who is allowed to do a whole lot of stuff, that one minister can now do one application. Because once you've got a clause like this, it now allows you to go and draft regulations to do that. And maybe there would be a question, if there wasn't this specific clause, whether you then draft regulations to say you can now combine these, whether you've actually got the authority to do something. So I think I prefer that legally, I think it puts us on safer ground to have a clause like this. Okay, next one. Yes, Ms. Bengu, you can. Where, which one?
24O subsection 3, we were requested to insert the wording by registered mail at the end of that sentence.
Okay.
And then also on subsection 4, we had to take out the or related activities and then...
No, well, that's area stuff, so that's going to maybe or maybe not change. Section 31D.
There were two issues. The first one on subsection 2, capital letter A, we were requested to insert those words relating to prospecting, mining, exploration, or production activities, and to also insert the subsection 5, which deals with a situation where the DMR, if the DMR refuses to perform the compliance...
I think we must... I think we need to elaborate here, but in 5. I think this is too like that intervention clause we created, remember where the... I think here at least we should inquire from the minister what the problem is. See if we can assist in resolving the problem, and only if there's then failure, then we intervene. It would be kind of, I mean, this just says after a reasonable period of time without any reference back to that minister you want to. So I think we must be more nuanced, okay? Firstly, to inquire, the minister to inquire what the problems are. Secondly, to assist and see if we can help with the issue, and only if there is then failure, then I don't think we can do directives here, because clearly you can't give a directive from one minister to another. Okay? So just nuance it a bit more, okay? Nuance, inquire problem, assist. And if it still pertains, then you take it away, okay? Or then you perform it, all right? Everyone happy with that? Next one.
The next one is on appeal chair, section 43. The issue was to check, to make sure that the appeal is available to all the decisions that the Minister of Mineral Resources makes with respect to the environmental matters under this Act. So we added that last part, which basically allows the Minister of Mineral Resources to implement this. So any decision pertaining to the implementation of that function, including the EMP or the environmental authorization, so those decisions can actually be subjected to an appeal.
Yeah, last time it wasn't clear that it's that stuff, so this makes it clear. Of course, you may have to change this if you change the area thing.
We'll
accordingly, once you'll have to make consequences. Does that make us happier? It's clearer now what can be appealed. And then the second thing there, 8?
8 is the appeal against the decision relating to the environmental authorization, specifically for the mining, that any appeal then suspends that authorization until the appeal is finalized, because the appeal as well as the EIA authorization are a prerequisite to the issuing or the granting of the minerals of the right.
Is that the correct wording? If you have an appeal, then the decision has already been taken, isn't it? You see what I'm trying to say? It says suspends the decision of the minister responsible. Now, it's it's not kind of clear to me what that decision is. I mean, Arthur's now said it's an appeal against the EIA. Now, if that is it, then let's say it. Yes, Ms. Carla?
Chair, it's not only the EIA. It will be the any exemption or a provision or a the same things that is listed under subsection 7.
Subsection 7.
Yes, Chair, but what's not clear is that which decision is being suspended.
Mm.
And that, I think, is the question that needs. It's the
an appeal
decision
under section suspends an environmental authorization exemption or any provision granted to or any directive unless the minister of energy directs otherwise. All right, so you'll tighten that up. Now, where is the thing about the time periods?
The conversation is next, Chair.
Oh, it's the next. The minister may, after consultation of the minister responsible for that, extend or condone a failure by a person to comply with the time period relating to the implementation of the function in the prospecting mining, except that time period which binds the minister responsible for mineral resources. When considering the extension of time, then we must consider the following factors. Time period may only be extended for maximum period equal to the time period allowed for the action for which the extension of time period will be resorted to. I'm not sure if it's after consultation. I think it's in consultation. The whole idea was that this thing is difficult. But let's have a look at that. I'll have a look now. What does this mean at the end? Except the time period which binds the minister responsible for mineral resources. What does that mean?
Chairperson, we can extend, for example, any period that doesn't apply to the department or the minister or whatever. The minister can extend any period that doesn't apply to the department or the minister, because usually the department's officials act under delegated authority. But if it applies to, for example, the applicant or the appellant, time frames that apply to those can be extended.
You're saying time periods which bind the minister responsible mineral cannot be changed at all, cannot be condoned, but any others can. When considering extended time condemnation, this too put something like this: provided that when the condemnation applies to the period in which an appeal had to be lodged, that such condemnation should only be given in exceptional circumstances. You get that? So it's fine if you keep this clause for condemnation with factors. But then at least what we wanted to capture was the appeal thing, wasn't it, Mr. Shabalala? The appeal thing is the problem, that if someone comes 5 months after the appeal should have been lodged and then wants to apply, and you've already gone you know, the process is already run, then, you know, then, so I think we should say there, provided that an application for condemnation of the period in which an appeal had to be lodged can only be given in the in very exceptional circumstances. Otherwise, this whole agreement with the thing starts unraveling. Doesn't that make it a bit tighter? Yes?
Just clarification. We get a, we have a period within which a, an appeal must be lodged. But then the, in the appeal process itself, there is a, there are a lot of other time periods. Does, is this amendment going to apply to the others as well, or just
what others?
For example, they need to provide a response within such and such on a document or whatever. They have to, there are time periods for those as well. So,
in the appeal process?
In the appeal process itself. Because, remember...
No, then you must capture it that it's the time in which the appeal must be brought and all time periods within the appeal process. I think make it clear, otherwise this is the thing that's going to be used to drag on processes forever, and all this thing that we're trying to do to get certainty is going to be much more limited. Now, in the first sentence, is it relating to the implementation of an environmental management function, or is it relating to appeals?
It appeals against the decision relating to the implementation of that environmental management
function. But then shouldn't we say that? Because like this wording, I mean, when I read it, it's completely nebulous. It's like it's when you kiss your sister. You know, you kind of do it, but there's not much excitement in it. Relating to the implementation of an environmental management function. I mean, if it's appeals we're talking about, why don't we say?
Condemnation can be condemnation of any time frame in the...
Yes, I know that, but that's not what we try to deal with here. We're trying to deal with just appeals, because it's the appeal procedure we changed. So I don't want to change the law as it is for other condemnations. I want to... You can keep that wording the same. And you can have a separate clause then that comes to condemnation in the appeal process. Or any process that is going to hamper that agreement of yours. That's what I want us to concentrate on here. I don't want there now to be restrictions on minister when she's dealing with other kind of matters that need condemnation. It's just the appeal process, because that's what we're dealing with here, it's the appeal process that we amended, that now the minister is going to be the appeal authority. Now, we're trying to make sure that that, what you've agreed to there, is kind of respected as much as proper. Then we identified the issue that when people want to appeal these matters, that if you extend those time frames, then all these things you've worked out doesn't work. Now that's what we're dealing with here. So it should only really be applicable to that. I mean, I see all these sentences of yours open-ended. I would rather keep something there to say that for all matters that have got time limits, this is what applies, but for appeals, this is what applies, and you use this stuff here with the proviso and then the exceptional circumstance. Okay. You got that clearer. So distinguish, I think it's only, it's going to probably be easier to draft it if you keep the two distinct. And say, all time frames, this is the process, but when it's appeals on mining stuff, this is the process on condemnation. Okay. You got that now. You understand? Right. Commencement.
Commencement, Chair, we've changed it that it must take effect on the date of publication.
This is the one where you guys kept 2014 or something.
Yeah, in terms of the... Yeah, Chair, just a question perhaps for the linkage up with the coming into force of the 2008 agreement. It was 18 months, it was to come into force 18 months after the coming into effect of the 2008 amendment of the MPRDA, which works out to what? Which works out to 8 December 2014. So just a question whether this immediate coming into immediate effect.
That was the whole point. They had those dates there, but the problem is that what we are trying to amend here is exactly that whole regime. So why would you want to keep anything of that old regime intact?
Well, certainly from an environmental perspective, the sooner the better that you bring it into force.
That's exactly my issue.
Because
I firstly do not understand why that department put that act, which they haven't complied with since 2008, why they put it into effect the other day. They put it into effect, which then meant that after 18 months or whatever, the functions are going to revert back to us. There's no sense in putting that into operation when this agreement was agreed to by that time. Now, I don't know why they've done that, and that's why I asked the department to go and look at this matter. It seems to me it's wrong to try and respond to that legislation. This legislation should be knocking all that stuff out and then putting the new regime in place.
Well, Chair,
if you recall,
the 2008 amendments are to a large extent, with the exception of the reversion of the function to the Minister of Environmental Affairs, are in structurally in place. So it's the combination of the 2008 amendment and this amendment which brings this agreement into effect. Certainly, there may be some administrative requirement for a transition, a transitional period to publish all the regulations which we have also drafted, but I have no problem personally of bringing this into immediate effect. I just wonder whether or not it creates administrative problems with respect to the implementation from the minerals side. My understanding of the reason why they put the 2008 amendments into effect is that they couldn't amend the 2008 amendments unless they were in effect. So they needed to be in effect before they could amend them.
You have to put it into effect so you can get rid of it.
I'm going to put this into effect so I can get rid of it. Okay.
Any case, the long and the short of it is, I'm happy still to take inputs from you guys in terms of this process here, but in the end, the long and the short of it is, we must draft this legislation in such a way that we want it to come into effect. I've got no problem with what you're explaining about regulations and so on. That is there. Maybe what we should do here to be a little bit more careful, because everything you suggested can still be done with this clause. The president must just be told he mustn't publish it until you're ready with the regulation.
But maybe a safer way to do it in this legislation, because there's two departments, is maybe then to say by a proclamation signed by the President instead of Section 81 of the Constitution. That may just give us a bit more control of the process, because at that stage you don't know who's in the President's office, and if they publish that, then it immediately comes to an effect, and if we're not ready for it yet, then that does create problems. So maybe a safer route in this case, but we're only doing it as an exception in this case because of the circumstance. Maybe we should then change that to read Mr. Shabalala that, you know, the usual thing, on a date by a proclamation by the President. Then at least what happens, I know in practice the department then had to send a proclamation to the President. And the department won't send the proclamation unless they finish with the regulation. Okay? Ms. Garland? All right. So we're going to make it a by proclamation here. Okay, next one.
Next one is under the Waste Act. The delegation 79 capital letter A. We've added the subsection 3 that speaks to the delegation by the Minister of Mineral Resources, that copies of those delegations must be submitted to the Minister for record purposes.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure for record purposes, not records. Record purposes. I don't think we should say for record purposes. I mean, you just leave it. Why do we want to say why it's for? Because it's not for record purposes. The reason we want to do it is because we want to see if this power has been delegated to lower levels, so we can make interventions and say, but hey, this is going to create problems. This person hasn't got the capacity to do this. So it's not for record purpose, okay? Take that out. Next one. Everyone happy? Next one. 208 NEMA.
The next one, Chair, we were requested to insert those words must be dealt with
mm-hmm.
under subsection 6.
Mm-hmm.
And also on subsection 7, that because the appeal is not only against the decision by the minister responsible for mineral resources, but also any person that has been delegated that function.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just to touch on that part.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is on the amendment with respect to this.
I mean, just make sure that this, will you use the same wording here?
Yes.
Environmental management function as you used just now when I said we must specifically say the appeal thing, okay?
Yes. Then the last one here is the one on ratification, that just to change that, I think initially it was said by agreement by Parliament, so we just changed it to ratification by Parliament.
Maybe we must make it clear, it's any future amendments to the provisions of that and that and that as amended. Must prior to introduction in Parliament be subject to. So you must have something like that, because otherwise it's not telling you to which time frame you're referring to. Because otherwise they can bring the bill here and then say, well, Parliament's going to pass the bill. That is the equivalent of ratification. That's not what we want. Okay. Otherwise, it's not.
not clear when that applies to. All right, so that is the DIA stuff. Then you should also have these latest documents from Mr. Singh on the water stuff. I blame you, of course, DIA, for having all these problems with the Department of Water on these issues. I've told Mr. Shabalala and Ms. Gallup and all these people that they must be responsible for the Department of Water and ensure that they are here, that they are taken along in the process, that their drafts are correct. So I blame you directly, Shabalala. Directly, you. You must take these people by the hand. Or by the ear, more likely the ear. And lead them and take them with you. You, I told you, what did I say to you guys? Didn't I say to you guys, if these bills don't pass, you will be the reason for it, didn't I? Because you're leaving these water people behind, man. These guys are like babies in the park. You know? And they have always got excuses. You know the latest thing he sent me? Yeah, I explode. You're lucky you don't sit in my office. I explode. The latest thing he said, remember what we said here? After I discussed with minister, we said, look, we're not going to finish this bill. So we want to bring this bill, these bills to finalization before the end of the year. So we have time. You guys then go and look at the legal aspects. You make sure you tighten it up with the other department so that we are ready then to have a joint meeting beginning of next year and then process them on a party. That's what I said last time. So we're going to finish the thing this year. He says, I don't know why I had to be at the meeting, you know, because you said we're only going to deal with this matter next year. Now, I have to deal with idiots like this. I blame you directly, Shabalala, directly. All right? You and that Isham Waisi is not here. I don't know where he is. Please, man, make sure that just like your DMR, that they are here, make sure that these people are here, read their documents, make sure that things are ready. Because I see when he writes this nonsense to me, then he's very keen to CC everyone. Yer, he CCs the minister, the president, the bloody, just about anyone. So I'm now responding to you, and I'm telling what a fool he is. Now I'm also seeing everyone. He wants to CC everyone. I'm now letting everyone know what a fool I think he is. Because that's what he does. Mr. Chabalala, you must take this problem child in hand. Please, you and Isham must take him in hand. All right. Now, you remember last time we had a fight with this fellow and said to him, he must now go and take these bills and put it in the act for us. I'm still waiting for that. That still hasn't been done. Okay? Mr. Shabalala, make sure the man, well, I'm not dealing with him anymore. I told him he doesn't come to the meeting anymore. Whoever they appoint now, make sure they do that for us. Put like you do. Put all these amendments in the act for us. Okay? Now, there's not much. We've gone through the act. These are the amendments to it. We've already gone through the amendments. I'm not going to go. They're all in yellow. I'm not going to go through them again. Oh, I see. Here's one blue one, which is the ratification part at the end. That's fine. Then there's a memorandum now that he's given us as well. And then he's now given us the regulations. Remember, there was not an appeal procedure in here. He's now created the whole appeal procedure in the regulations. But now, of course, as per usual, nothing is colored in the regulations. So we haven't got a clue what is the new stuff. It's completely and utterly blank. Not blank, it's, well, there's the orange there, but the blue part at the back, as far as the appeal is concerned, that's not in color. So, Mr. Shabalala, I once again urge you and Isham and Ms. Gallup to take your colleague in hand and go and sit down with him in a meeting, not by email, in a meeting, and go through these documentation and all the changes, and then make sure they're in color, make sure like you do that it's in the act, and make sure that you agree with what they've done. That's your responsibility. I don't want to sit and hassle with these issues. Okay? That's your first responsibility. The second responsibility is, I forgot now, what is the second responsibility? Second responsibility. What could the second responsibility be? I want you to, Mr. Wills, this, the new concept, it's important that you guys sort that out this year. So we need a report before the kind of December break where you guys tell us how you've resolved this and whatever else you've resolved, because I want to send the documentation then finally to the members with all this new stuff plus the stuff that we've changed now, but this new conceptualization particularly also has to be part of this thing. Okay, so that'll be the one response. The other response is Mr. Shabalala must get these other fellows on board, and then that documentation must form part of yours. Okay? And then the third thing is, we've asked you guys to please go and look at the legal implications of these things. Someone get a lawyer to look at these things for us and look at all the things that we've done in all these amendments and so on and so on, that it's done correctly. Take that extra time to do that, okay? Anyone else have anything further to add? So we haven't been able to bring this thing to finalization this term, but at least at the end of, before the end of the year, we'll try and do that, okay? Anything, Ms. Mangania?
Yeah, that was by a month, like, but I'm so sneaky pro-career. So...
Vraag mevrou Wenger daar, sy is besig om 'n prokureur te raak.
Sy sê ook
okay, that's why I've given you the whole December holiday to read. And then you can come with problems. Okay, I think that is takes us to some level of finalization with this, although I see there's going to be some more work that has to be done. I don't think we've finished yet. But I'm kind of excited by this new conceptualization. I think that'll be exciting if we can sort it out and get them to understand it. And then I still want to hear why those people aren't here, eh? Their minister told me they'll be here, so there's no excuse. Okay. Anything from the committee? Now, all right, this is also for Mr. Wills to listen. We now have the application for the Rhino Workshop signed. Okay? I've asked them, remember, to do us an agenda. They did one to me that I'm not happy with. Now, yesterday I met with the acting DG and told him what I would need and so on. No one has called me back about it because I've just scribbled stuff and I think they're not going to understand it clearly if they have you. Now, I need that agenda finalized today because we need to send out invites and so on. It's from the 30th, Saturday the 30th. We'll fly up. We have a free day on Sunday there. And then we'll start the workshop on Monday morning. Just so that you hear what I'm saying basically is in that document. Basically what I'm saying is I think the minister should open, if she's available, should open the workshop, if she's available. Because I think politically she needs to sketch where we're going. We have all these role players there, these stakeholders. It's a good time to set out the politics of the issue. Then secondly, I thought, and if you, that maybe Msamam should give his RIM report, because that deals with all the Rhino issues.
maybe I know the department doesn't agree with everything he says, but we realize it's his report. There's been this rhino, what's it called, the rhino something report? This rhino
issue.
It's called the RIM report, the rhino something
issue management.
Let him then come in a shortish input like he did in Thailand, come and just sketch to us what areas he looked at and what is some of his proposals on. So. And then Sam Ferreira also gave an interesting input in Thailand. He's from Sandbox. He gave an interesting input. So I thought, as a start, so that people have information to the workshop, we have that first. Then then the things that they said on law enforcement, I think is the most important next issue, must deal with on the afternoon or the rest of that day, deal with the law enforcement issues, and the stuff they put down there is good on the program. Then all the international and regional cooperation we're trying to do, so the EMOs, what are they? And at which stage are they? Have they been signed or close to signing? So those international cooperation stuff comes in. Then what they've left out completely, which I'm absolutely livid at them, are the stockpiles. There's a whole process that this committee has asked for the stockpiles. We've passed legislation to make sure that these stockpiles can now be the private stuff. I mean, I asked them for a timetable for it, that the private people must this, otherwise we're going to start prosecuting them, da da da. That whole stockpile thing, I want that whole plan on that day put before us, and it must be finalized, the stockpile. It's not in the program at all. Then they have two items there. The one is it's like rhino conservation or something like that. They've got a heading there, it says, and someone was going to give an input. And then the one after that is DNA. So keep those two inputs next. And then the rest of the, from Tuesday late morning, I want the following discussion to take place. The elephant in the room. What do we as environmentalists do to destroy or seriously disrupt the black market in rhino poaching? That is what I want us to discuss. Now, they suggested a few inputs there. I want, I think the one input is them to come and explain to us how the rhino population is. There's one by South Rolf. Something is one by the WWF, but I don't want just them narrowly to come and give their input. There's also the Dahlberg report that they commissioned. So all these different commissioned reports they've done, I want it to be all put into one input so that we can hear from the NGOs what are their, some of their ideas and so on. And then there are a whole lot of things that DEA wanted to report on, the dehorning, the feasibility studies for legal trade, what we, our whole process leading up to CITES, etc., etc. So we're having the discussion as a broad discussion, how do you destroy the black market, but of course within that we'll look at the legal trade. If they've got, anyone has got other proposals, then of course they can bring those proposals as well. Then at some stage, if there are going to people be, so that'll be until Tuesday, then at some stage, if there is there are going to be people there from Africa, that depends if you guys have invited them, then we'll have a meeting with them to discuss a few things. And then the rest of the Wednesday we'll spend on going to look at the fence and the operational things around rhinos. I hope you guys have captured that. Huh? So it's all those inputs in the beginning, then it's law enforcement, then it's regional and international cooperation, then it's stockpiles, then it's that item that's on the program with, I think it's breeding or something, then it's DNA, and then it's this whole discussion on the black market. That I think is covering, oh, and somewhere there, We just need an update on the legislative and regulatory framework changes that we've made as also part of that process, okay? All right, so I think all that must be fitted into 2 days. More or less in that order that I said. And at least the whole afternoon of the Tuesday has to be spent on discussing the black market. Okay, there was a hand up. Ma'am?
Thank you, Chair. When you have the discussions, whether the trade or no trade and cites and such, are you going to have a presentation from anti and pro trade groups or just one group?
Well, the WWF have shown that they are not happy with trade and they're opposing it. And they haven't given a solution, but they... So these reports that I'm saying they must put into one input. We'll then be able to hear those views. But of course, these people will be in the workshop, so if they want to raise their issues there, they'll be free to raise their issues. But I'm not going to go out my way to invite every single person that's opposing it. I mean, those ones that we know, like WWF, Earth Life, and so on, we'll give an invite to them, and they can attend or they're not attend. Okay? So at least one can hear those inputs as well. And as I say, it's a workshop, so if people then want to oppose or disagree or... But that's why I'm wording it not as legalizing trade. I'm wording it as what do we do about the black market. If people have got better ideas, then of course we are rational, we'll listen to them, and whatever better ideas there are, they are. Okay. But you'll see that the list is, the list that I've put is much wider than the department has suggested. And what I've looked at is the kind of people that usually come and give inputs to us in our meetings. I've put them on the list. The Andrew Muir people. Oh, yes. I wanted, if possible, if you guys can check if Dr. Ian Player can say something to us in the beginning of that rhino thing. Someone like him that's a respected environmentalist and has got no agendas other than trying to make things work better. If it's possible for him to be there to come and give an input, that'll be good, okay? So just try and please off today still finalize that agenda, okay? Because at the moment we can't do any preparations unless we haven't even got invites out and it's already this late in the month, okay? We only got the signed document yesterday. I mean, Chileka traced it yesterday afternoon. Okay? So we'll try and do as best we can. Then if Mfundi and them can report to me on the African side of things. Are some people coming? I see someone wanted to invite the whole SADC. Yeah. I suppose if he's got the money to do so, it's fine. I'm more worried about the countries that are around us so that they can be part of these discussions and debates and see what we're doing and so on. It's more really for them. It's not for them to come and give inputs. It's really just to see what we're trying to do and so on so they can more understand better what it is. And I don't want people there that just come along. I want people that from those countries that actually are dealing with these conservation issues. Otherwise, it's hopeless having them. I mean, the chief whip of Tanzania sends the economic advisor to come. That's not going to help us. We want MPs that are dealing with these matters. Okay, MPs. And if the department wants to invite one or two officials from the more important countries, well, then that's you inviting those people. That's fine. But if the people come from Africa, we want to try and, particularly for CITES, if it's here in 2 years' time, we want to start creating networks with the African MPs so that we can be on the same page, okay? So let's see how quick you can do all those things else and get back to us, all right? So that we can move on it. What is this? Okay. All right. Ms. Ma?
I was just asking the committee to remain for 2 minutes. Through you, Chair, I don't see the chief.
Are you talking about the
ANC? You mean the ANC?
Oh, no.
The whole committee.
Actually, out of order. I said the committee.
Oh, no, yeah. I also thought you meant study group. Okay. Can all you intruders leave so we as a committee can talk?
Chair, thank you very much. Always a privilege, as usual.
Thanks for the hard work. Thank you. Now that Maya's on the NSC, she's now going to take us on a jaunt somewhere. I was introduced like that, but when we ask Parliament tells us that they've got new records now, so they don't tell us what happened.